Hi, welcome to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wow. My name is Sultan Simlali. I'm a business consultant passionate about marketing and technology. A couple of months ago, I had a hard time explaining to my mom what I was doing in my day job. I struggled so much that she politely said, interesting. Would you like more coffee? Talking about an experience with friends and colleagues, I realized that I was not alone. This is why I have decided to go on a quest. Find a marketing professional that will be able to tell me who they are, what they do, in words my mom would understand. Enjoy the show. Today, I'm meeting Marie Incontrera, two-time TEDx speaker, author, consultant, entrepreneur, musician, and fitness enthusiast. Marie provides consulting services around social media and online branding services for individuals and small businesses. She also does media bookings, TEDx talk development, and speaker booking outreach and book launch services. Marie's social media clients have included national best-selling authors, medical professionals, wellness experts, even a popular science-based gaming app, and more. Her speaker clients have booked TEDx conferences across the country. She has a 100% success rate getting her clients placed. And her media clients have been booked on popular podcasts and radio stations, such as The World's Most Amazing People, Entrepreneur on Fire, and more. She's the author of the Amazon bestseller Social Your Book Launch. And when she's not working, she can be found playing piano. So I met Marie via LinkedIn. And after watching a TEDx on being a jazzpreneur, which I hope you'll be talking about today, she gives many examples, including Adolphe Sax, a Belgian guy who invented a saxophone. Being myself a Belgian and a jazz lover, I thought I need to talk to Marie. So Marie, thank you so much for being on the interview today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. I try to introduce you the best that I can, but how would you introduce yourself to the audience?
Well, I think what you said is perfect. I am a social media, podcast booking and TEDx consultant. And, when I'm not doing that, I've spoken at two TEDx's. I write, I love writing. I'm an author and, I love music.
Amazing. So how did you get where you are today?
That's a great question. Well, I have a degree in music, and I was a gigging musician and, all throughout my 20s, I had a band. I loved it. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's really rewarding. And, you know, I had a great career out here in New York. I had a 15-piece avant-garde jazz band, the Echo Music Big Band. We played all music by living or recently deceased composers, so we didn't play any standards. And our last performance was at Carnegie Hall in 2017. So, but what I found was that with jazz, especially with jazz and with classical, that, you know, it's possible to be really successful. And also it's possible to be successful and broke. So I had, you know, especially in New York, unfortunately. So I was talking with a friend of mine who is a consultant, and she said, I have an idea for you. Why don't you try virtual assisting? And I did, and I liked it. And then people started coming to me for one of three things. And those things were social media, podcast booking, and TEDx. And I said, okay, you know, slowly but surely that became a consultancy.
That's amazing.
So that's sort of how I got here.
Well, that's impressive. So just one of your friends told you, and then this is how you stumbled on what you're doing now. It's very interesting. So you do those three things, but you're also an author of the Social Your Book Launch. Could you tell me more about your book?
Sure. And actually, since then, I had a second book come out. But Social Your Book Launch is about using social media to publicize a book, especially around the launch period, especially if you're self-publishing, though my best practices sort of speak to even if you have a publisher, you have a social media consultant helping you. So it's a pretty quick how-to guide. It focuses mostly on nonfiction authors, but there's some advice in there for fiction authors as well. And that released in March.
Okay. Oh, that's really cool. Is it possible to pre-order already?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon.
That is great. So we'll provide links to that. Tell me more about this jazzpreneur thing. I really love that story.
Thank you.
Could you maybe introduce the audience to the concept and the story behind it? Because I believe it's really key.
Thank you. Sure. So my first TEDx talk was about the jazzpreneur and how jazz musicians were great innovators of their time, and what that means for business. And I came across that idea because I love jazz, obviously, and I also love innovation in business. You know, I've always followed, what Elon Musk is doing and what Steve Jobs was doing. And to me, innovation is really the key of changing the world. You know, like, for example, how Uber really disrupted what it means to have a car or, you know, take a ride share. You know, ride sharing is a completely new concept, and it's now become so integral to our society. And I think innovations like that are really interesting and really important. And, you know, there have been innovations like that in music. And in fact, you know, these innovations were happening on that kind of scale, on that kind of disruptive scale in the early 20th century. And so Jazzpreneur, the talk, talks about three specific things. The first is, of course, the saxophone, which was a novelty instrument created by the instrument maker Adolf Sax. And he created it. It was a hybrid instrument between the clarinet and the bassoon. And it was meant for orchestras. But when he brought it to orchestras of the day, the musicians really couldn't make it work because it was a little too loud. It was a little too cutting. It kind of didn't fit. It was an awkward instrument. It fit, you know, it wasn't quite a woodwind, but it also wasn't quite a brass. And completely by accident, jazz musicians discovered it. And it turned out that that, you know, awkward misfit instrument was perfect for the jazz band. And it was completely, you know, it was just completely by accident. And it just so happened that he got it in front of the right people. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, it would have become obsolete had he tried to stay within the orchestra. The second story is about Dizzy Gillespie, and mm-hmm. Dizzy Gillespie was a trumpet player and, you know, one of the great fathers of jazz, and he was really pivotal in the bebop movement. Bebop is an art music. It's very, very fast, and it's jazz that's not meant for dancing. Mm-hmm. He, as a young kid, was learning to play the trumpet. And, you know, young black musicians in that day, they didn't have the money. Their parents didn't have the money to send them to fancy music school. And so he learned in church and he learned on his own time and he was self-taught and all of that. And so he learned to puff his cheeks out, which is, according to classical standards, incorrect, mm-hmm. you know, because it doesn't create a beautiful blendy sound that works with the orchestra. But, and that became so pivotal to his sound, it completely changed how jazz can sound. And he became one of the fathers of jazz. Then the last thing I talk about is how the genre is set up for imperfection. Because, you know, like for a classical performance, you go to a concert hall, you get dressed up, you pay a high ticket price to get in, and, you know, therefore it's this, like, big event. It's, you know, you don't do it very often. And people are meant to sit down and be quiet. The audience sits down and be quiet, you know, and even if you clap at the wrong time, it's considered impolite. Yeah. But jazz, you go to a club and you can drink and you can talk and you can eat, you could laugh, you know, you can even respond to the music because it's polite to clap after someone finishes a solo while the band is still playing. So the genre is really set up for imperfection. And with these solos, you know, you actually can make a really big mistake and have that be pretty cool. And it's better to be messy when you play than it is to be perfect, or what the jazz musicians call square. Because square is not innovative. It's, you know, kind of stilted. It doesn't flow. So those are the three points that I make in Jazzpreneur.
Yeah. And when you look at the way companies innovate, but also the whole agile way of working that everyone in the industry is talking about, it's true. It's actually what those guys were doing. So right. It's really about, mm-hmm. yeah. It was really shocking because then you look at how specific inventions are being used for purposes that were not meant to mm-hmm. and have made a huge impact. And I think one of the cool example which we use less and less is the text. The SMS was mm-hmm. not meant as a business stream, but right. once telcos and also users discovered what a SMS could mean, mm-hmm. well, it was a big revenue maker. Well, it was just meant as a service messaging system, so and not for communicating with people. So that's really, really, really cool. Mm-hmm. So when you work with your customers, how do you engage with them?
Well, my clients, because I do three specific things, a lot of times my clients will come to me for one thing, and then they might work with me with different things over time. Social media and podcasts are really sort of a more ongoing thing, and they're an engagement for a longer period of time. Social media can be a very big ongoing project. I've worked with some of my clients for years now, and what I do is I learn their voice. I create a digital brand, and that can include visuals. So I can create graphics as well as, text posts that really speak to their thought leadership and their visual brand and everything. Podcasts, we strategize and we talk about what proper messaging is and what kind of podcasts they should be on. And then TEDx is kind of this one-off when you're ready thing. And what I do with that, it's pretty special. I will take my clients through the idea process. Because most of my clients are in the thought leadership field, they're Inc. and Forbes writers, they're HBR writers, they have books, they're CEOs and that sort of thing. So I will work on their idea with them because everybody has a great idea. It just takes honing for the TED stage. And then once it's ready, we'll get their pitch materials together and I'll pitch them.
Wow. No, that's really cool.
Thanks.
And so you really work on the framework that TEDx is using, the 18 minutes, the three core ideas and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really love TEDx and you can binge watch TED talks. Sometimes it's worse than House of Cards.
Agreed. I mean, I sit, I'll be honest with you, I work from home and sometimes all I do is I sit at home and while I'm working, I'll listen to, I'll keep the TEDx event stream on and I'll just listen.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It can be worse than House of Cards.
as you know, the podcast is called Digital Explained to My Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question for me is, does your mom know what you do? And how did you explain to your mom what you're doing?
That's actually really funny. And there's a little story behind that. I was with my mom. We went to an exercise class together. And after the class, I checked my phone and my phone was, I had all these email notifications and my mom saw that I was answering emails, and she kind of looked over my shoulder and she saw that one of my clients said, "Oh, I really like this. Thank you." And it was just kind of an approval email. She goes, Oh, they like it. Okay, great. She said, "I don't know why people pay you, but what you do is great." So I said, "Okay, thanks, Mom. I guess that's, and she kind of understands it on a 30,000 foot view level of like, yeah, she gets TED Talks and she, runs people's social media and she gets them interviews, but like she can't really explain it further than that, I think.
Okay. So when she'll have Christmas drinks or a New Year's Eve party and people will ask her what her daughter is doing, she's just going to say, "My mom is doing amazing work. People love her. And it's something about TEDx."
Right, right. I don't know what she does, but I'm proud of her. Like it's basically that.
I think we all try to make our mom proud. So
yeah.
I think it's the name of the game. So let's say you meet someone who just turned 18 mm-hmm. or struggling with their studies. What would be your advice to them? What would you recommend them to start their career?
Well, I would recommend study what you are passionate about, because that will lead you, that might lead you to something that you didn't expect, but it's worth it. And also don't put too much relevance on, don't put too much pressure on your formal education, because education, especially nowadays, can come in many, many forms, including online learning and that sort of thing. And, you know, so college is great, but it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, you know, it's there to study what you love and what you would love to do, if that's the appropriate venue for it, you know. And the reason I'm saying these things is because even though I'm not really making my living as a full-time musician anymore, I have no regrets about studying it, because my clients come to me because I'm creative, mm-hmm. you know. And also on the flip side of that, much of what I learned about music didn't happen in college. You know, it happened on the field. And so I feel that my education was really, really in the venues and, you know, in the practice room.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I really like that, because I would say that when you were 12, maybe you were not thinking about, okay, I'm going to be supporting people to get TEDx conferences,
right.
or
exactly.
doing social media stuff now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you studied something completely different, but it fuels everything you're doing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very inspiring. Yeah. I find it very inspiring. So what's next for you?
What's next? I did 2 TEDx talks this year. I'm hoping to do more next year.
Cool.
One of my speaker coaches, she wants me to be she wants me to do the most in the world. And I don't know how many that is, but I've it's kind of a goal that I have in the back of my brain. Like, I could do this in the next 10 years, sure. You know, if I do a couple year. So that's what's next. And I think, you know, just continuing to serve my clients and, you know, get their messages out there, because I really believe that's important. Yeah, that's what's next for me.
So I hope to see you maybe at a TEDx in the Netherlands. So we have one in Amsterdam, and I live in Utrecht, and we also had one last year. Yeah, so we have a lot of TEDx conferences in Europe.
Yeah, that'll be a good excuse to come to the Netherlands. So
yeah,
you know, which I've wanted to do.
Oh, that is great. So how can people learn more about you, Mary?
They can find me on LinkedIn, which is how we found each other, or my website is incontrera.com. So it's just my last name, incontrera.com. Or they can email me, marie.incontrera@gmail, or they can find me on social media.
Okay. That is great. So as part of the show notes, I'll put your contact details, so the website, LinkedIn, but also links to your videos, mm-hmm. to your TEDx. And people can connect with you. So I really want to thank you, Mary, for being on a podcast. I would say I wish you a very happy Christmas time. Happy New Year, and keep making your mom proud.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for listening to Digital Explained to My Mom, the podcast that cuts through the marketing wah-wah. If you like the podcast, please rate it with 5 stars on iTunes or the podcasting app you use. Remember that sharing is caring, so feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. You will find the show notes on our website, digitalexplaintomymom.com. I'm looking forward for your feedback, ideas, and more. So let's connect on LinkedIn. My name is Sultan Simnali, or on Twitter, where I go by the name of Sultanology. The music you have heard is from bensound.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.